Chapter 26. Dignity of his tone had a great effect on his hearers. Reported outside, all this did more for deepening the mystery than the vaporings of Lewd. Farod. This last was greatly relieved at the issue. He began to enjoy the state of general wonder, and was pleased to add to it, by assuming an attitude of fierce discretion. The colonel of Lewd. Dubert's regiment was a gray-haired, weather-beaten warrior, who took a simple view of his responsibilities. I can't, he said to himself, let the best of my subalterns get damaged like this for nothing. I must get to the bottom of this affair privately. He must speak out, if the devil were in it. The colonel should be more than a father to these youngsters. And indeed he loved all his men with as much affection as a father of a large family can feel for every individual member of it. If human beings by an oversight of providence came into the world as mere civilians, they were born again into a regiment as infants are born into a family, and it was that military birth alone which counted. At the sight of Lute, Dubert standing before him very bleached and hollow-eyed, the heart of the old warrior felt a pang of genuine compassion. All his affection for the regiment, that body of men which he held in his hand, to launch forward and draw back, who ministered to his pride, and commanded all his thoughts, seemed centered for a moment on the person of the most promising subaltern. He cleared his throat in a threatening manner, and frowned terribly. Why, you must understand, he began, that I don't care a rap for the life of a single man in the regiment. I would send the 843 of you men and horses galloping into the pit of perdition with no more compunction than I would kill a fly. Yes, Colonel, you would be riding at our head, said Lute. Dubert with a wan smile. The colonel, who felt the need of being very diplomatic, fairly roared at this. I want you to know, Lute, Dubert, that I could stand aside and see you all riding to Hades if need be. I am a man to do, even that if the good of the service, and my duty to my country, required it from me. But that's unthinkable, so don't you even hint at such a thing. He glared awfully, but his tone softened. Tea, there's some milk yet about that mustache of yours, my boy. You don't know what a man like me is capable of. I would hide behind a haystack if... Don't grin at me, sir. How dare you? If this were not a private conversation, I would. Look here. I am responsible for the proper expenditure of lives under my command for the glory of our country and the honor of the regiment. Do you understand that? Well, then, what the devil do you mean by letting yourself be spitted like this by that fellow of the 7th Hussars? It's simply disgraceful. Lute. Dubert felt vexed beyond measure. His shoulders moved slightly. He made no other answer. He could not ignore his responsibility. The colonel veiled his glance, and lowered his voice still more. It's deplorable, he murmured. And again he changed his tone. See, come, he went on, persuasively, but with that note of authority which dwells in the throat of a good leader of men, this affair must be settled. I desire to be told plainly what it is all about. I demand, as your best friend, to know. The compelling power of authority, the persuasive influence of kindness, affected powerfully a man just risen from a bed of sickness. Lute. Dubert's hand, which grasped the knob of a stick, trembled slightly. But his northern temperament, sentimental yet cautious and clear-sighted too, in its idealistic way, checked his impulse to make a clean breast of the whole deadly absurdity. According to the precept of transcendental wisdom, he turned his tongue 7 times in his mouth before he spoke. He made then only a speech of thanks. The colonel listened, interested at first, then looked mystified. At last he frowned. You hesitate? Miltoners. Haven't I told you that I will condescend to argue with you as a friend? Yes, Colonel, answered Lute. Dubert, gently. But I am afraid that after you have heard me out as a friend, you will take action as my superior officer. The attentive colonel snapped his jaws. W. Well, what of that? He said, frankly. Is it so damnably disgraceful? It is not, negative Lute. Dubert, in a faint but firm voice. Of course, I shall act for the good of the service. Nothing can prevent me doing that. What do you think I want to be told for? I know it is not from idle curiosity, protested Lute. Dubert, I know you will act wisely. But what about the good fame of the regiment? It cannot be affected by any youthful folly of a lieutenant, said the colonel, severely. No, it cannot be, but it can be by evil tongues. It will be said that a lieutenant of the 4th Hussars, afraid of meeting his adversary, is hiding behind his colonel, and that would be worse than hiding behind a haystack for the good of the service. I cannot afford to do that, colonel. Nobody would dare to say anything of the kind, began the colonel very fiercely, but ended the phrase on an uncertain note. The bravery of Lute. Dubert was well known. But the colonel was well aware that the dueling courage, the single combat courage, is rightly or wrongly supposed to be courage of a special sort. And it was eminently necessary that an officer of his regiment should possess every kind of courage and prove it too. The colonel stuck out his lower lip and looked far away with a peculiar glazed stare. This was the expression of his perplexity, an expression practically unknown to his regiment, for perplexity is a sentiment which is incompatible with the rank of colonel of cavalry. The colonel himself was overcome by the unpleasant novelty of the sensation. As he was not accustomed to think except on professional matters connected with the welfare of men and horses, and the proper use thereof on the field of glory, his intellectual efforts degenerated into mere mental repetitions of profane language. M. Miltoners, dot dot sasser nom de nom. Dot he thought. Lute. Dubert coughed painfully, and added in a weary voice, colon, there will be plenty of evil tongues to say that I've been cowed. And I am sure you will not expect me to pass that over. I may find myself suddenly with a dozen duels on my hands instead of this one affair. The direct simplicity of this argument came home to the colonel's understanding. He looked at his subordinate fixedly. Sit down, lieutenant. He said, gruffly. This is the very devil of a dot dot sit down. Mon colonel, Dubert began again, I am not afraid of evil tongues. There's a way of silencing them. But there's my peace of mind too. I wouldn't be able to shake off the notion that I've ruined a brother officer. Whatever action you take, it is bound to go farther. The inquiry has been dropped, let it rest now. It would have been absolutely fatal to Farod. Hey! What? Did he behave so badly? Yes. It was pretty bad, muttered Lute. Dubert. Being still very weak, he felt a disposition to cry. As the other man did not belong to his own regiment, the colonel had no difficulty in believing this. He began to pace up and down the room. He was a good chief, a man capable of discreet sympathy. But he was human in other ways too, and this became apparent because he was not capable of artifice. The very devil, lieutenant, he blurted out, in the innocence of his heart, is that I have declared my intention to get to the bottom of this affair. And when the colonel says something, dot dot you see dot dot Lute. Dubert broke in earnestly, colon, let me entreat you, colonel, to be satisfied with taking my word of honor that I was put into a damnable position where I had no option, I had no choice whatever, consistent with my dignity as a man and an officer. Dot 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 after all, colonel, this fact is the very bottom of this affair. Here you've got it. The rest is mere detail. Dot, the colonel stopped short. The reputation of Lute. Dubert for good sense and good temper weighed in the balance. A cool head, a warm heart, open as the day. All was correct in his behavior. One had to trust him. The colonel repressed manfully an immense curiosity. HH'M. You affirm that as a man and an officer. Dot 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 no option? Eh? As an officer of the 4th Hussars too, insisted Lieut. Dubert, I had not. And that is the bottom of the affair, Colonel. Yes. But still I don't see why, to one's Colonel. A Colonel is a father K. Diable. Lieut. Dubert ought not to have been allowed out as yet. He was becoming aware of his physical insufficiency with humiliation and despair. But the morbid obstinacy of an invalid possessed him, and at the same time he felt with dismay his eyes filling with water. This trouble seemed too big to handle. A tear fell down the thin, pale cheek of Lieut. Dubert. The colonel turned his back on him hastily. You could have heard a pin drop. This is some silly woman's story, is it not? Saying these words the chief spun round to seize the truth, which is not a beautiful shape living in a well, but a shy bird best caught by stratagem. This was the last move of the colonel's diplomacy. He saw the truth shining unmistakably in the gesture of Lieut. Dubert raising his weak arms and his eyes to heaven in supreme protest. Not a woman affair, eh? Growled the colonel, staring hard. I don't ask you who, or where. All I want to know, is whether there is a woman in it? Lieut. Dubert's arms dropped, and his weak voice was pathetically broken. Nothing of the kind, mon colonel. On your honor? Insisted the old warrior. On my honor. Very well, said the colonel, thoughtfully, and bit his lip. The arguments of Lieut. Dubert, helped by his liking for the man, had convinced him. On the other hand, it was highly improper that his intervention, of which he had made no secret, should produce no visible effect. He kept Lieut. Dubert a few minutes longer, and dismissed him kindly. Take a few days more in bed. Lieutenant. What the devil does the surgeon mean, by reporting you fit for duty? On coming out of the colonel's quarters, Lieut. Dubert said nothing to the friend who was waiting outside to take him home. He said nothing to anybody. Lieut. Dubert made no confidences. But on the evening of that day the colonel, strolling under the elms growing near his quarters, in the company of his second in command, opened his lips. I've got to the bottom of this affair, he remarked. The Lieut. Colonel, a dry, brown chip of a man with short side whiskers, pricked up his ears at that without letting a sign of curiosity escape him. It's no trifle, added the colonel, oracularly. The other waited for a long while before he murmured. Indeed, sir. No trifle, repeated the colonel, looking straight before him. I've, however, forbidden Dubert either to send to or receive a challenge from Ferrand for the next 12 months. He had imagined this prohibition to save the prestige a colonel should have. The result of it was to give an official seal to the mystery surrounding this deadly quarrel. Lieut. Dubert repelled by an impassive silence all attempts to worm the truth out of him. Lieut. Ferrand, secretly uneasy at first, regained his assurance as time went on. He disguised his ignorance of the meaning of the imposed truce by slight sardonic laughs, as though he were amused by what he intended to keep to himself. Be but what will you do? His chums used to ask him. He contented himself by replying "U vive Rivera" with a little truculent air. And everybody admired his discretion. Before the end of the truce Lieut. Dubert got his troop. The promotion was well earned, but somehow no one seemed to expect the event. When Lieut. Ferrand heard of it at a gathering of officers, he muttered through his teeth, "Is that so?" At once he unhooked his saber from a peg near the door, buckled it on carefully, and left the company without another word. He walked home with measured steps, struck a light with his flint and steel, and lit his tallow candle. Then snatching an unlucky glass tumbler off the mantelpiece he dashed it violently on the floor. Now that Dubert was an officer of superior rank there could be no question of a duel. Neither of them could send or receive a challenge without rendering himself amenable to a court-martial. It was not to be thought of. Lieut. Ferrand, who for many days now had experienced no real desire to meet Lieut. Dubert arms in hand, chafed again at the systematic injustice of fate. Does he think he will escape me in that way? He. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.